This is NHL Audio, presented by XM.
The list is very familiar to Bob McKenzie, who was glued to the chair on TSN.
Literally glued to the chair.
Not get up.
Yes.
So we're guessing he just woke up this afternoon. It's Deb and EJ in New York. How are you today? You good?
Excellent. I'm all good, guys. Good.
You're rejuvenated and re-energized. And what do you think now that you've had a chance, 24 hours, 48 hours, to look back on what was an eventful draft weekend?
Well, it really was. I mean, in addition to the picks that were made, obviously, you always kind of rate these drafts for excitement in terms of the trades that go on in and around them. And, I mean, starting on draft day, and you had Bobrovsky, which was an interesting trade for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Not an earth-shattering one. Didn't register on the Richter scale. But by the time we got to the draft floor and we found out that Jordan Staal would be moving to Carolina, that's a monumental trade at the best of times. When it happens in the hometown of the team that's holding the draft, that was seismic. That was big time. And then before the draft proceedings were entirely over, you get a pretty big hockey deal. Two young players, Luke Shen for James Van Riemsdyk. That's a real solid hockey trade. And I mean, even a trade like Mike Ribeiro going from the Dallas Stars to the Washington Capitals is not an insignificant trade. I mean, whatever you think of Ribeiro, that's a $5 million cap hit on a player who will go into Washington and may really put up a lot of points playing with some really good wingers.
Hey, Bob, I want to ask you about something else that had to do with the Penguins trade. We haven't touched on it too much yet today. But the fact that the Penguins were able to do this deal, they move Staal out, they also end up trading Zdeněk Mihalik out as well, opens up cap space. I mean, do you think they're now a player for a Ryan Suter or a Zach Parise?
Yeah, I do. So I do think that. And again, they have to take their chances with everybody else, and there's a lot of competition for those two guys in particular. They're the two marquee free agents. But I don't think there's any question in the mind of general manager Ray Shiro that either one of those guys would look good in a Pittsburgh Penguin jersey. They can debate seven ways to Sunday. What's the biggest need? Is it on defense? Is it up front to get another winger like Parise, or whether it should be on the blue line with Suter? I think probably the primary need would be on the blue line, but I think Suter has been a player for a while. We've all kind of felt that he's more likely to end up in the Western Conference than the Eastern Conference. I don't know, that's not cast in stone by any stretch, but I've gotten that feeling for a while. Midwest boy from Wisconsin ultimately may like to stay in the Western Conference and maybe even in the Central Division area. So we'll see how all that plays out, and there's no guarantee they get anybody, but certainly the availability of space is there if they need it.
Speaking of Wisconsin, Bob, how about Justin Schultz? He officially became an unrestricted free agent today. He's this college kid that a lot of NHL teams, I guess, are going to be interested in because he's no longer property of the Anaheim Ducks. Who's interested?
Well, I think the answer is everybody. The question is, who's he interested in? We don't really know that yet. We can kind of make some suppositions. He's going to be flying into Toronto on Tuesday morning. He's going to meet with his representative, Wade Arnett, and the other agents at Newport Sports Management in Mississauga, just outside Toronto. And they're going to go over his list of wishes and desires. They're going to provide him with all sorts of information in terms of analytical stuff on depth charts on teams and where he might best fit in terms of playing time and those types of things. And then it's up to him. And I think as early as Tuesday afternoon certainly no later than Wednesday morning, they'll start fielding offers from the teams that are interested. And as I said, every team in the National Hockey League would love to have a kid like this. Second-round pick of Anaheim, I believe in 2008, because of a bit of a quirk in the CBA, was able to basically declare himself a free agent just by leaving school at the end of his third year. And now, in terms of teams that really want him, I'm sure the Edmonton Oilers, the Vancouver Canucks, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the New York Rangers, the Philadelphia Flyers. There's five teams that I would identify as would beat down the door to try and get this guy, and five teams that he might be willing to listen to.
Well, it seems like it's going to be a nice week for him. How about the latest with Roberto Luongo? I know Mike Gillis was asked over the weekend repeatedly about Luongo. He wasn't biting on any of the questioners, and he's still saying it's a very difficult thing for even to think about for the organization to move Luongo. And now we're hearing that Luongo would like to position himself to get back to Florida. That seems to make sense. His wife is from there. He spends a lot of time in South Florida. What's the latest on Luongo?
Well, first off, in terms of all the reports that he's agreed to waive here but not there, and here being Florida, there being Toronto or anywhere else, I can only tell you this. There's never really been a formalized process here. The Vancouver Canucks never at any point have asked for a specific list from Roberto Luongo, and he didn't supply one to them. I think he's got one in his own mind. I think the Vancouver Canucks are well aware of what his preference is, and his number one preference would be to go back to the Florida Panthers. And as you point out, he's got a strong connection there, off-season home, a wife's family from there, all those things. But he's also a pretty pragmatic and smart individual, and he's not shutting the door on anybody at this point, and nor can he afford to, because with his contract, both in terms of the dollars to be paid, the number of years remaining, the cap hit, there's not that many teams in the National Hockey League that can absorb it. So Roberto's not in a position where he can slam doors in people's face and think he understands that better than anybody. So while Vancouver knows that Florida's probably the preference, he hasn't ruled out Toronto or anywhere else at this point in time. But right now, the Florida Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, the two teams that probably have the most obvious need for a guy like Luongo, they think the price that Mike Gillis is asking is just way, way, way too high. And right now they've backed off until it goes down or until they collapse and break down and pay the price that Gillis wants. But right now they say there's not a chance in the world of that happening.
Is he a fit for you, Bob, in Florida? I mean, he's been there before. They don't have a lot tied up in goaltenders. I mean, they've got Jose Theodore at 1-5 for one more year. They've got Markstrom, who they drafted a couple of years ago. They see him as the future. But if you can get a Luongo, maybe they change their decision on that. Do you see him as a fit in Florida now?
Well, the only thing is, if Jakob Markstrom is your goaltender of the future and you really do believe in him, and then you bring in a guy who's got sick, well, it's a 10-year deal, but
yeah,
the last 3 years are kind of those quasi-bogus years that are there to bring down the cap hit. So if he, let's assume he plays 6 years, that's still a long time to not turn it over to Jakob Markstrom. That said, maybe there's no guarantee that he'll play. He could pack it in after 4 or 5 years and that. So I think there's kind of a fit there. I think there's a better fit in Toronto, personally. But I also know that Brian Burke is fully prepared at this point to roll with James Reimer and Ben Scrivens to start the season. If he gets into a goaltending hole early, then he'll go out and overpay for a goalie then, as opposed to overpay for one now.
Bob McKenzie was first to report that Jordan Staal had turned down that long 10-year deal from Pittsburgh. So we thank you, Bob, for getting us all started on Thursday with some excitement, and we'll talk to you again next week.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bob.
Love what you hear? It's never been easier to listen to the NHL on XM wherever you are. Sign up for a free 14-day trial and get exclusive audio entertainment on the go, at home or in your car. XM. Love to listen.